It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as usual.
As almost always.
Steven Brown. That's it. It's just you and I.
Because there's not enough room in this room for us, a third person, and all the crazy announcements that have been made.
It's been crazy! You know, last year, if you guys were listening last year, we spent the whole month of October talking about horror movies.
Yeah.
And this year, we can't do that.
Too much shit going on.
No, well, last week we had my dad on.
Yep.
And then,
fascinating gentleman.
Yeah, you got to meet him.
Yes, I did.
And
I was not disappointed.
He was not disappointed either, and he's
that's
a
good to hear.
He liked you and Dave and Joe. We all kind of had a conversation that was not recorded, and he liked everybody. But also, the news that came out around New York Comic Con last week, there is so much news that the two of us need to just cover it for the next hour.
Yes.
So the first thing, which is amazing, is New York Comic Con had more people this year than Diego did.
That's insane.
That's never happened for any convention.
Never, ever.
151,000 people.
Yeah.
Went to the convention in New York.
You kind of wonder, I don't really know what C2E2's attendances were like this year, but wow, I mean, New York, like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Because it's like now it's like if that's now going to become the second biggest. Well, it was the second biggest.
Well, now it's the first biggest.
But now
yeah.
It's technically the biggest. It's just like, oof. You know what?
And the show's over.
That's it. What else do you guys need? I mean, Jesus.
Just another 58 minutes of us going, hoy.
Boy.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Well, I think it's fantastic because as you know, I grew up in New York.
Yeah.
And I spent all my time in New York until the last 4 years. And I love this convention. Reed Expo has done an amazing job. And you know from C2E2.
Yeah, it's the same guys that handle C2E2.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal show.
They've doubled it every year the same way they've done with C2E2,
yep.
Where it's they knew to start small and controlled. And then when that was a success, add on to it. And the first time I ever went to New York Comic Con, it was a small show.
Yeah.
It was one room in the New York Javits. But it was a great show. I got to meet Neil Adams then. That was the one time I talked to Neil Adams.
Yep.
Because all the other times I've been scared to.
Right.
I got a signed book from him, talked to him for a while, got to just walk around and enjoy the show. And now it's bigger than San Diego.
Yeah. I mean, you figure like it's going to be maybe not as big next year or, you know, whatever, you know, because it's kind of fluctuating. But for any show to surpass San Diego is kind of... kind of shocking because, I mean, what's the square footage of, like, San Diego?
Javits Center is very, very, very big. I think it's like, not quite as big as San Diego.
To put it in perspective, I guess, like, McCormick Place is, like, San Diego Convention is, like, three or four McCormick Places put together. Like, the whole center,
yeah.
Not just the
hall. I would say
hall.
The Javits Center is... Well, that's the thing, is McCormick Place... C2E2 doesn't take up all of McCormick
right.
Place. And New York Comic Con takes up all of Javits... And San Diego takes up all of the San Diego Convention Center.
Yeah.
So if you imagine all of McCormick Place, both
being
sides
used.
Of the highway,
yeah.
Being taken up, like every square footage taken up by that con.
That'd be about the size of New York?
Yeah. New York
wild.
Might be a little bit bigger. It's
that's
huge.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's...
So even just like imagine that many people in one space. It's like that can't possibly be pleasant for like just like walking around trying to
I
buy stuff.
I talked to
you know?
One friend of mine who had a booth there. Who will remain nameless because I keep asking him to come on the show and he's like, I don't know. So I'm not going to point him out.
They'll throw him under the bus.
But I asked him how I had a brief conversation. I said, I heard it was big in San Diego. He's like, really? I didn't read that. I said, well, how was it? He goes, it was busy.
Yeah.
So I think it
I
was
feel
overwhelming.
Like I, yeah, that's that poor man.
Yeah. But because of that, there was a lot of really, really big news that weekend, whether they were at the show or not. There
right.
were some places, like Mattel didn't have a booth at the show, but they showed like the rest of their He-Man figures
yep.
for this year. Because now, like San Diego, it's a big news weekend.
Yeah, they're using it. I mean, it's conventions week's always a crazy week. You just can't avoid hearing all this stuff because it's, you know, it's all over the internet almost immediately as soon as this stuff gets announced. But like you said, it's like what's happening at the convention is almost secondary to the announcements that get made at the convention.
Right. And some of those happen at panels.
Right.
But some of them don't. Some of them are just like, let's just send the press release out Saturday.
The same day the convention happens to be going on.
Yeah, because everybody is looking for comic news.
Yeah.
But the biggest news? I don't know what the biggest news is. I feel like there's two or three stories that are huge, huge, huge.
Yeah.
But I guess we can start with the DC news.
Yeah, I mean, the DC movie news, I think, is some of the biggest stuff, which is, it's interesting that everyone's making such a big deal about it, because we kind of knew something like this was in the works. Marvel released their schedule to, like, 2026 or something.
Right, and it's like two movies a year.
It's two movies a year, then it moves into three movies a year, and it's, like, a lot of
untitled
stuff. But
now DC is doing 10 movies in 4 years.
Yeah.
Which, the list, if you haven't heard it yet, is... Starting in 2016, there's Batman vs. Superman, which we've known about and we've been complaining about for many, many months.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple of curveballs in here. Suicide Squad is getting its own movie.
Which is good on them, I'd say, because it's their response, I think, to like Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is like a kind of a out there thing for Marvel to do, and DC's just like, well, what could we do that's like successful that kind of It's off the beaten path, I'd say.
Right, and I think that there's two ways it's really smart. I think it countermarkets the Sinister Six movie.
Yes.
Which I believe is still going forward. There's a lot of flux going on with Sony and Spider-Man now.
I don't know what's going on with Sony and Spider-Man right
now.
And
there are rumors, there were a lot of rumors this weekend, but nothing confirmed, that Sony might be willing to lend Spider-Man back or sell him back. Yeah, so Spider-Man could well be in Avengers 3.
Mm-hmm.
But Suicide Squad seems to be the only movie that's absolutely happening because... Amazing Spider-Man 2, now that the DVD is out, is basically considered a bomb.
Really?
It wasn't good. Well, we talked about it that week, but it didn't do very...
And the DVD sales are poor? Because I don't even remember them soliciting the DVD for like sale.
Yeah, it came out a couple weeks ago, and it's like, I see tons of it at Best Buy. I was just at Best Buy last week getting my iPhone 6, which we can talk about. But there were way more Spider-Man on the shelf than there were of X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, and they probably came out right around the same time, you know.
But I think it effectively countermarkets with Sinister Six, if that actually does happen.
Yeah.
And it also follows from Batman Assault at Arkham, which was great. And that was a Sinister Six animated movie.
Yeah, I heard that was really well done. I haven't seen it yet because it's like too violent for the store. So it's one of the things
It pushes it a little. Like, usually the DC directed video is good for the store.
Yeah.
There's some sex in it.
Right.
There's like there's a sex scene between Harley Quinn and Deadshot.
That's weird.
It is supposed to be weird.
I think that's kind of what they're going for. Kudos to them, I guess. I guess something with these like movie announcements, it's kind of weird because we know this is Warner Brothers making this announcement,
right?
And they're out of franchises, right? Harry Potter ended; they're not doing that anymore.
They're bringing Harry Potter back though,
right? But they got
J.K. Rowling to write a new book, which they're already splitting into three movies.
Right? They're hobbiting it,
and that
doesn't make any sense. You take the shortest.
I like that you made that a verb.
Well, it is, because that's what Peter Jackson did, right?
Yeah.
He took a movie
they also did it with Twilight, The Last Harry Potter, but I like hobbiting it.
Well, because it's like, hobbiting is you take a really small thing, like a hobbit, and you make it three different things.
Yes.
And that's literally like what elves. They're doing. Like elves. And I guess what's goofy about it is like, we've had kind of discussions like this before about Warner Brothers, where they kind of run out of these tentpole movies to do, and we've been saying for years around the shop, not necessarily on the show, that... just make superhero movies, because there's fucking 400 characters you could pull from. You'll be making these movies forever.
And they've owned DC a lot longer than Disney's owned Marvel.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a, like, what took you guys so long?
Well, they made the original Tim Burton Batman movie, they shot that all over town. They were going to make it at Universal, they were going to make it Fox, because Warner Brothers cared so little about owning DC Comics they finally, at the last minute, they said, wait a minute, that's Warner Brothers property. We're Warner Brothers Studios.
We made
four Supermans already.
We should maybe do
Batman.
Maybe
we should make Batman.
And that's so crazy to think that they, not that they couldn't figure out that Batman was going to be a big deal because of how goofy it had been in the comics and the Adam West all that nonsense, but it's like, what took these idiots so long to get their shit together? You know what I mean?
They're making 10 movies in 4 years.
But, yeah, they're making up for lost time, I guess.
We got through two movies.
Oh, yeah, let's make the rest of the list.
I'm just going to read the list just in case somebody is like checking him off, and it's like, you just did two movies and now you're talking about Harry Potter, which it would be me if I was listening to this podcast. So Batman vs. Superman is number one, then Suicide Squad, then Wonder Woman, which we knew about because she's in Batman vs. Superman, then Justice League Part 1, then The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Justice League 2, Cyborg, and finally in 2020, Green Lantern.
Okay, so a few questions off the bat. Are these are all shared universe movies?
No, not at all.
What?
Not at
all. Wait a minute. They're not going to interact with each other.
Oh, they'll interact with each other.
But not with the TV shows.
But not with anything.
And which is stupid.
That's what makes me really angry.
Yeah.
Is that the Flash TV series premiered last week.
And I've heard...
It's not like Tom Welling was Superman for 6 years and then they didn't make him
past,
Superman.
Right.
No, they basically have been working on these two properties at the same time.
Right.
And said right away, make them not
and here's the
be
thing about
anything
that,
like each other.
Is everyone who's come through the store that's been talking about the Flash TV show, they all love it. I haven't heard any real complaints about
it. I've watched both, and I feel that... I feel like I'm too old to watch it.
It's got like a WB vibe.
It's got
to
a CW vibe.
CW,
yeah, it's still built on that engine, and we talked a lot about this with Arrow,
which is
why I couldn't get into Arrow. And then I realized, well, Flash, I like the Flash as a character much more than I like Green Arrow as a character.
Yeah.
So let me give this one a little more time, and I feel like it's the best made of those three shows, which to me feel like a shared universe. You know, and honestly, if Arrow, well, although there was a Green Arrow one,
you can't say it's shared because it's a totally
different.
No, that's
not shared.
Yeah.
Okay, take that back. But Renee and I were watching the second episode, which had like multiple man who I do not remember from the
Flash universe. I've seen him in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. He's multiplex or something like that.
Yeah.
But basically the same powers, like you hit him, he turns
into
more.
Yeah, but the first, I mean, they're focusing on the villains much more than they did in the 1990 series, which by the way, I bought at Best Buy when I bought my phone because it's $10 for the complete series.
That's a good show. I like that. I love that
show.
And did you notice that guy who plays the Flash is in the new show?
He's playing his father. He's playing Barry Allen's father, which is nice.
I thought it would have been nice if he was Jay Garrick, but if he's his dad, who cares? It's like, at least he's in there. It's a nice little nod to the show.
And I think they probably won't do Jay Garrick because I think they want to make Barry Allen unique. They don't want to make him... They're not sharing the universe, so why have a Justice Society? But what makes me mad is not that... It's not even that they're sharing the TV series with each other, because I can understand why you wouldn't want Arrow and Flash to live in the same universe as Gotham, because Bruce Wayne is 10 years old in Gotham, Flash is 25 years old, Arrow's 30 years old.
Yeah, the mistake of that is fucking have Gotham sent... should have been set like with Batman around.
Yeah,
although it creates too many problems.
Although I watched it this week, it was actually good.
I've heard
it. It was actually closer to what we were saying it should be. It was like it focused on the mob.
Yeah,
it focused on kind of the dirty darkness of Gotham. It was a little more restrained. It didn't have guys being killed by weather balloons.
Right.
It wasn't like anything crazy. It's getting toned down, and I'm wondering, well, if this is episode 4. And it's getting toned down. Maybe we're going in that direction.
Yeah, maybe the rest of the series will
kind
of go that way.
Like I said with Gotham, I've always felt that maybe this is a series that season 2 or 3, people are going to be like, this show is awesome. Yeah, I don't want it. You know, don't watch the first season.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's one of those
that.
Like Netflix shows where people are like, thinking about getting into Gotham. Start with season 2.
Yeah, I could see that.
Gordon's got a mustache now.
Right. He's got glasses. He looks a lot better.
Glasses.
You know?
Montoya lost an eye.
Right. Did she lose an eye?
No. I'm saying
you're just making shit up.
Yeah, well, season 2.
Right, you gotta do something different.
Yeah, but that really does bother me, is that I simply don't understand why they would work on a Flash movie and a Flash TV series and then separate them to the point where they're not going to be as good. Why don't you leave the Flash for later, do a 4-season run of the Flash, do his movie, or do it like they did with The Simpsons or The X-Files or the original Batman. You have a movie come out that summer in between the two seasons, and then the next season picks up from that.
And I think actually that would have been great too, because it's like you said, when they used to do Star Trek movies while they were doing the show, they would do the movie, they'd have the big budget, they'd get all the uniforms and all the props together, and then use all that stuff for the show, because the show one has a big budget.
And they're doing it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and this is like
Agents
really
of S.H.I.E.L.D. is
going to
introduce Mockingbird soon. They've had the Absorbing Man.
Yeah, I've heard the amount of villains they've put in that show.
Robert Downey Jr. says he wants to appear on it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll use him at some time.
They had Sam Jackson. They had Jamie Alexander. It's a part of that universe.
Yeah.
And so, Yeah, and then a couple of other things I think are weird. Everybody's excited about Aquaman because it's starring the Khaleesi
the
guy
Game
from
of Thrones,
Game
dude.
Of Thrones.
Yeah, I guess they're going to go like the Barbarian King Aquaman, which is probably...
Ooh, maybe he'll have one hand.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do the hook at some
point. Maybe
they'll
keep the beard and the long hair. And
yeah, I could see that.
Be more of a Peter David 90s version?
Yep, I'm thinking either Peter David 90s, like Bruce Timm animated series Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good. Green Lantern, it's a funny one because it's...
They're going to try it again?
It's the last one, so they're clearly pushing it down the road as far as they can, so in case it fucks up, it doesn't ruin the whole line of them.
Which tells me Ryan Reynolds is not going to be Hal Jordan.
No, because when was that movie slated for?
2020. So like I said, it's the last one.
Was that 6 years from now?
6 years from now. I think Ryan Reynolds might be too old by that point.
I think by that, they're trying to...
And honestly, if you're doing Justice League first, it would be a very smart idea to put Jon Stewart in it. And then if he's popular, you can get him his own movie rather
than
do
way to test it.
Green Lantern with an African American. Oh, maybe he sells, maybe he doesn't sell.
Yeah.
You know, because they haven't done a big budget superhero movie with an African American as the lead. You know, all I can think of is Blade, which were low budget movies.
Yeah, Blade I think did it. You know, where he's the title character or whatever, and then Sam Jackson.
But you've had Sam Jackson has been a supporting character. Falcon in Captain America is a supporting character.
And War Machine. And we have said before is that there's the absurd lack of diversity in the superhero films. Like Marvel keeps making the joke that, you know, to make a good Marvel movie, you grab a white actor named Chris and throw him in a superhero suit and you're good to go. Because Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pratt, right? And it's just like, they're not wrong. Every Marvel movie's a white dude. And it's just like, yeah, where's the Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers movie? Where's the Black Panther movie? Where's the Luke Cage movie? And it's like, they're finally starting to address some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And bring in more female heroes like Mockingbird. Peggy Carter's got her own show now.
And they've been good about the teams, having the teams be diverse.
Yeah, I heard Black Widow even got a movie announced at this weekend. Isn't that a thing I heard?
I've heard a lot of rumors about it, but nothing that's still confirmed. Rumors. But the big Marvel news is that...
I don't like this at all.
You don't like this?
No, I don't like this. So Marvel announced that Captain America 3...
Well, why do you get to announce it? You don't like it.
Because I hate it. So I feel strongly about it.
And you feel strongler?
Stronger.
You feel a word that doesn't exist about this?
Words are hard when you're as angry as I am. Captain America 3 is going to be called Captain America Civil War, which is dumb for a few reasons. Number one reason is he's supposed to be looking for the Winter Soldier in this movie. So maybe that's going to be part of the movie. But then to just like grenade the Civil War thing in there is like, Civil War is a crossover book that had all these heroes in it. They're just going to make it about Iron Man and Captain America, which boils down the conflict, which is fine. But there's no way you make this movie without making Iron Man a dick.
Well, I believe there is a way you make it without making Iron Man a dick.
I have a way too, but then it makes Captain America a dick.
Nope.
Because you reverse the roles.
My way is very easy, and is the way they're doing.
What do you got?
You keep Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Yeah, but I think there's only so much that guy's going to be able to do when his position is going to be so ridiculous.
I really, really like this idea because Robert Downey Jr. has been very cagey about an Iron Man 4, and I think this is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He's going to be the second lead in this, and they're saying...
Yeah.
And he will probably end up being the villain, because if... For those of you that have never read the Civil War crossover, it's a story... It's a plot line that's come up a million times in comics. It's part of Watchmen. It was part of the Marvel in the 80s.
All the X-Men stuff.
All the X-Men stuff about superhero registration. If you have these powers, you need to be registered with the government, which then exposes your secret identity. They did this story about 10 years ago, and the interesting thing about it was they said all the superheroes are going to be one side or the other. And you're not going to know who's going to be on one side. One of the things they did that was interesting, but they didn't really pay it off, was that in the Fantastic Four, Reed was for registration, Sue was anti-registration.
Yeah, and it split that family down
the marriage.
Yeah, they did, and to their credit with Civil War, they did, like, the unmasking Spider-Man was a cool moment.
Right, that was a big moment in it where he was for registration, and he's like, I'm so for registration, I'm going to tell everyone I'm Peter Parker.
He unmasks on live television.
Yeah, which causes a big problem when a couple years later they want him to be back to the old Spider-Man.
Yeah, and they handled it terribly, but at least the stories were good.
The stories afterwards were good, where nobody knew he was Peter Parker again.
A lot of people read Civil War and they really like it, and a lot of kind of more mainstream comic book fans, like people who stick with comics a little longer than the people who just come in and buy the big stories. don't like it. But I always say, you know, it's a decent story. It doesn't have a payoff because you really can't root for Iron Man in this story.
Right, and that was a problem. They pitched it as you as the reader get to decide who you're for or against because we're going to split the Marvel Universe down the middle. So yeah. You side with your characters or you side how you want with the issue. Now, the two main characters in it are Captain America and Iron Man, which they flipped it. Everybody thought Captain America was going to be for registration because his identity is pretty well known.
Yeah, he works for SHIELD already.
Yeah, he's a captain. He toes the line. And that Iron Man as a private sector
party animal.
Party animal, individualist, futurist would be anti. And it turned out they're flipped. Cap is very anti-registration.
Right.
Iron Man's very for registration. And then the fight comes down between the two of them. Problem is, it leans so hard in Cap's favor that Iron Man became a villain really until the movie. He was unpopular.
Yeah, I mean, he was Marvel spent a lot of time around that time in the comics boosting up Iron Man into, like,
they made him head of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, they got rid of Nick Fury.
They were pretty much trying to make Iron Man the Marvel equivalent of Superman. They boosted all his power levels up so he was able to go toe-to-toe with, like, the Hulk on his own.
Yeah, his armor was supercharged.
Yeah, they kind of really gave that character a push, and that kind of culminated in this, like, Civil War story. The problem with it was, and to their credit, they tried to do it, but they failed miserably. They tried to give every character who chose registration, which was clearly reading the book, was the wrong choice. They tried to give them all different motivations for why they were doing it, and none of them really held any water, and none of them were really terribly logical or good arguments. It was all like, I had an uncle that was like a communist, and back in the day when that was a bad thing.
I'll give you that. And I do agree that the story itself doesn't have a payoff. The problem with the story is that the payoff is after the story in Captain America 25. And this is not a spoiler, and this is not to say the movie's going to go there, but this was such a big news story.
But it probably will go there. Spoilers.
It might go there, but it is such a big news story. I don't think it's a spoiler, is that Captain America gets killed in Captain America 25, which is right after Civil War.
Yeah.
If Civil War ended with the death of Captain America, it would have been enormous.
Yeah, and it did have its big shake-up moments during Civil War. Thor had been out of the comics for almost 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, Thor's not in it.
Well, he's in Civil War. He returns, and you think, oh my god, Thor's back.
There's a twist where it's not the real Thor. We don't need to get into that twist.
I guess I'm just saying, reading it monthly when it was coming out, there was a lot of big moments where you're like, oh shit, Thor came back.
Spider-Man unmasks is a big moment.
Right, there was a lot of
Thor
big moments.
Thor returning, or not returning.
Klor, whatever they called him.
The Hulk is also not in it because they were doing Planet Hulk, which is one of the best Hulk stories ever.
He was originally supposed to be in it, though.
And at the same time,
if you read Mark Millar's script.
Oh, really?
In Mark Millar's original script, Secret Invasion, Civil War, and World War Hulk were all the same story. And the story, it gets crazier. So, Civil War is going on.
There must have been a lot of issues.
And the return of Captain Marvel and the real return of Thor were all going to take place during Civil War. Hulk was going to come back with an army of Hulk children because he goes out into space, rapes an entire planet, and then raises an army of his own Hulk children to come back to fight him.
Yeah, that becomes World War Hulk, which I love.
Yes.
But that's more of...
And they gave it to Greg Pak to fix because Mark Millar's a lunatic.
Yeah, Greg Pak was writing Hulk at that point, which was great, and John Romita Jr. drew it.
Yes.
And that was Hulk just finds...
He fought
Hulk,
everybody.
Hulk builds an army out of aliens, and they come with
it. They did that instead, which is a much better story.
That's a very underrated story. I have the oversized hardcore for that one.
And that's something where, you know, like you said, that's why we have editors.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom Brevoort, for saving us that
pretty awesome.
Travesty.
I actually got starstruck seeing Tom Brevoort at New York Comic Con once.
Yeah.
Because he also edited the Mark Wade run of Fantastic Four. He's one of the best editors they've ever had. And I recognized him, and I was like, that's Tom Brevoort. And I couldn't even say hello because he was such an amazing editor. That I reacted as if he was...
Yeah, very rarely can you point to other editors like...
Editors
would
be
such
like,
a good job. Like, Denny O'Neill is like...
That was the only other name I was thinking
of. The only
other
editor I could think of where it's like, they did such a bang-up job.
But I like this idea. I think if Downey's not going to do another Iron Man, this is a great place for him to really shine. Because I think Avengers 2, he's going to be in a big ensemble. He's going to have his moments to pop, but he'll probably be in it 20 minutes. All the armor stuff will be CG, and it'll be like... You know, it'll be him hanging out in a lab being funny. And I think this gives him a lot to do. I think it's really interesting. I think I will probably side with Iron Man more just because...
Robert Downey Jr.
Because of Robert Downey Jr. being the movie, Tony Stark is a different character. And I could see this not being resolved the way the Marvel Universe is going and spill into Avengers 3 and 4.
Yeah, I think what
they'll... I think this is too big a story for one movie.
I think what they'll end up doing is, you know, they won't resolve it. They might kill Captain America and make Bucky Cap, which is what we've been saying for a few months.
Well, Chris Evans' contract runs out at Captain America 3.
Which is why I'm pretty sure he's going to...
Or they make Falcon Cap, which is happening in Marvel right now.
It's true. They could go that route too. But yeah, maybe, you know, like you said, if they make Iron Man a darker character in the movies, maybe it could be a little interesting. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying it's going
to
be interesting.
I don't know if he'll be darker. I think he's just... Tony doesn't listen to people. You think of the movie Tony. He doesn't necessarily listen to people.
Yeah, but that's all he would be doing. Now, what will be interesting,
it depends on how Nick Fury's executed.
Now, if Nick Fury's dead in Winter Soldier, or he's off the grid, they need a new head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe they make Iron Man the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. in, like, Avengers 2.
No. You're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2.
No. Oh, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, right?
No, there is a S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. is comprised of only the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's the whole team.
And the head, they're trying to rebuild it.
Yeah.
The head of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Coulson.
That makes sense.
So, if S.H.I.E.L.D. gets involved, that's a reason to bring Clark Gregg back to the movies, who's been out of the movie since the show started. He has not appeared in a Marvel movie since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has started.
So that's Thor 2, Captain America 2, and Iron Man 3 that he's missed out on.
And I don't believe he's going to be in Avengers 2.
I haven't seen...
I mean, especially you're bringing Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch,
Vision.
He might
be, though. It's like a small cameo. Well, it's Joss Whedon. He likes Coulson, so we might throw him in there.
Yeah, but he's got him every week.
Yeah, that's true.
But I actually think it's a really good idea, especially because Anthony and Joe Russo are coming back for this. They did Winter Soldier. They did an amazing job on Winter Soldier. So I think this is going to be really... And Marvel has seemingly gone too far a couple of times. Nobody thought Avengers was going to work. Nobody thought Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know. I was skeptical about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
I'll give you that.
And you're skeptical now about Captain America 3, but they have yet to drop the ball.
And but my concern is that it just seems like, you know, you put Iron Man in a villainous role, then you kind of wreck that character for any future projects you want to do.
But you know what? Downey's out of a contract, so maybe that's his big swan song.
Maybe that's his twist, is he dies instead of Captain America.
Maybe.
Anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess it's with anything, it's always, give them the benefit of the doubt. Like you said, they haven't really fucked up anything too bad. Even that Hulk movie they made, not the Ang Lee one, but it's not terrible.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's still watchable.
It's forgotten, but it's not
bad.
Yeah,
which is a shame.
Well, and it's also hard because Banner's recast and Avengers.
So I
always forget that it's part of the Marvel Universe, because to me the Marvel Universe Banner is Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, and he, you know, I think Ruffalo did a better job, I think. But then, like, why don't we have a Hulk movie on its own, you know?
Because the last two bombed.
Yeah.
Because the Ed Norton one didn't make money, and the Ang Lee one was a huge bomb.
And I guess it is something, too, if they do kind of keep putting off Hulk, that means we're going to get movies like Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange and all this other stuff.
Right.
Now, there is
And everybody's been mentioned for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, there's like four guys in the running again.
Oh, I've heard rumors every week. I don't think any of them are substantiated. I know Joaquin Phoenix was talking about it and dropped out.
Yes.
There were rumors about Benedict Cumberbatch. I never heard anything follow up on that. There were rumors about Ethan Hawke. I never heard any follow up on that.
Yeah.
The last thing I heard was Ewan McGregor.
I heard that one.
Which would be interesting.
Yeah.
But I haven't... Yeah, I heard Johnny Depp very early. But the thing is, Marvel doesn't really like to pay Johnny Depp salaries, which is why they're struggling with Robert Downey Jr. now, because they have built him to A-list.
Yes.
He's A-list in other things. He can go do Sherlock Holmes.
He can
do
anything
he wants.
Yeah.
He can do anything he wants. So for him to come to Marvel, he needs a better financial reason. Guys like Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth... We're really not doing much. So they cost a fraction, and they're younger than him.
And I think that's what they're going to do, is they're going to go for somebody who's respected, but hasn't come into their own yet. They're going to look for somebody who's going to take this role and make it their own, like Robert Downey Jr. did with Iron Man, and catapult themselves into the spotlight.
Right.
Because like you said, they're going to... Whoever is going to be Doctor Strange is very... At the very minimum, is probably going to do 6 movies. Because you're going to get 3 Doctor Strange movies, and then he'll be in some capacity in whatever they do with the Infinity Gauntlet, or a new Avengers property, or Civil War.
Oh, yeah, I could see Doctor Strange being needed in this Avengers 3.
Yeah.
Because what they're saying is, or 4, because they're saying Thanos might be 3 into 4. That they might hobbit the third Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Which I think also gives them a loophole to keep, like, Downey in a fourth Avengers movie, because it's not really the fourth Avengers movie.
It's like part two.
It's like Infinity Gauntlet part two or what have
you. I think what we'll probably get is everyone's saying Avengers 3. Avengers 3 is going to be in Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet. And it might be the Avengers versus Thanos, who's assembling the Infinity Gauntlet. Then the movie ends with him assembling the gauntlet, and then there's an Infinity Gauntlet movie on its own, and they should just grab everybody. Grab all the Defenders.
Maybe they'll have Spider-Man back by then. The Netflix show.
Yeah. Grab Spider-Man. Grab the Silver Surfer. Grab Doctor Strange. Grab
all the Avengers. Basically everyone except the X-Men.
Everyone that Marvel has the rights to versus Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. And call it Infinity Gauntlet. Don't waste an Avengers movie on Infinity Gauntlet when you could do all that stuff in one standalone movie.
Yeah, they they can do what they want. And that's the thing to remember, which is why I'm still going to argue with you about Civil War.
Yeah.
Is that as much as they said, oh, this is going to be this story, this is going to be this story, they haven't really adapted anything. I mean,
yeah,
the first Avengers movie, it's kind of one because
it's kind of like Avengers 1 because
Loki's in it.
Yeah.
And there are Skrulls in it, which is kind of like Ultimates. But
yeah.
But really, the plot lines haven't gone lockstep. The Winter Soldier movie, not a lot like the Ed Brubaker storyline.
No, other than the character. Yeah, it's pretty much it.
So, I mean, Civil War, yeah, you could have Civil War basically comes down to Steve versus Tony over registration.
Yeah.
And then it can go anywhere.
And, you know, it might not even be registration. It could be anything. Like you said, they could just call it Civil War. Like,
it could be another issue.
Great example is Avengers 2 is going to be called Age of Ultron. Well, we read the Age of Ultron comic book. It came out last year. And there's no way it's going to be anything like that. It's just not possible.
Right. That was crazy alternate realities and time travel.
And to their credit, well, to the credit of the movie people, like you said, they're kind of coming up with their own ideas and kind of going in that direction. And it's working. The problem with Marvel is they're a bunch of knuckleheads, and they're like, well, Age of Ultron is going to be this big story about Ultron, and then they make a right turn halfway through and have a different artist draw it, so it's like, it clearly wasn't the book they intended it to be. Right. Like, that's very clear.
And I didn't even get into it, but according to you, it wasn't. I didn't start it.
Well, you know, it's Bendis and Hitch, and they had been leading up to it for about 4 or 5 years. Halfway through the issue, the book takes a hard right turn and doesn't become about Ultron at all anymore.
So editorial got involved.
I think editorial got involved, or somebody
wanted
to make a
change. Kind of like Flashpoint, where the last 5 pages of Flashpoint are New 52.
Yeah, it just like somebody fucked up, and they were just like, let's make it up.
Because when you read Flashpoint, it's just an Elseworlds Flash story.
Yep.
It could have been out of continuity for as far as I was concerned.
Yep.
It was all right, but like it wasn't a great story.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as we said with Warner Brothers, not only are they doing that, but they're doing three more Lego movies.
Yeah, so I guess the Lego movie did pretty well.
Lego movie was a huge hit. It was phenomenal. Did you see the Lego movie?
I've seen parts of it. I don't own it, so I'll get it at
really
Netflix
great.
Or something.
I might lend it to you.
I might borrow it from you.
It's good for the store. But one of them is going to be a Lego Bat movie starring Will Arnett as Batman.
And I think that's a real shame, only because it'll be a better Batman movie than literally any other Batman movie DC's got any plans to come out with.
But why is that a shame? We get another good Batman movie.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
My question is, what I don't know about it, because they haven't said much about it other than Will Arnett is signed. They're definitely doing it. They said it looks to be before Lego Movie 2. So it might be the next Lego movie.
Okay.
What I don't know is, you said you've seen parts of the Lego movie, so it's not spoilers to say. They kind of go through the whole Lego world in it.
Yeah.
Like they go to Wild West sets, and they do the old space sets, and they go to like the girly sets, and Duplo is in there. So is it going to be Batman exploring the whole Lego world?
No.
Or is it going to be a Lego Gotham City?
Yeah.
Kind of like the video game.
I think it's good.
With like a Lego Joker, a Lego Riddler, a Lego Commissioner.
I completely agree. I think you'll see the Lego video game, the Batman Lego video game, as a film. They'll do all the villains. It'll be huge.
But more of a comedy, you think?
Yeah, probably for kids. Kind of. It'll be more like a... Kind of like Batman Brave and the Bold, but with Legos.
That's what I'm thinking, because Will Arnett plays Batman kind of douchey in it, and I'm sure that's going to be intact.
And I think they'll probably let him go a little further with it. You know, it's kind of like, he's almost kind of playing it kind of like Iron Man, right? Where it's like Robert Downey Jr. is kind of playing this like snarky version of Iron Man. Will Arnett's going to kind of play this snarky version of Batman, which is, I think, what people want, because we're clearly not going to get that from the... Christopher Nolan or whatever, the other guy, version of Batman.
We're not going to get that from Ben Affleck. Although, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't even occur to me till right now. That is also the only Batman movie they have announced from between now and 2020.
Yeah,
Ben Affleck is in Batman vs Superman, and then the two Justice League movies. They said they might do a movie with him.
Yeah, that's what I heard. With Warner Brothers' package of superhero movies they've released until 2020, whatever it is, the 10 movies in 4 years. Superman sequels and Batman sequels were deliberately left off the list because they're waiting to see how Superman Batman does, and then figure out, all right, when's the next Man of Steel going to be? When's the next Dark Knight going to be?
And then pace them around the Justice League movies, which both of them are
figure out what they're going to do. Yeah, that's what I heard, at least.
Yeah, I'm all for it if it's good, but Man of Steel, man. Whew.
Yeah, I guess Man of Steel could... It's not the worst Superman movie. It's not terrible.
No, it's not
great.
Superman 4.
Right, but it's something where... the failure, the total failure, total success of that movie is going to hinge on what they do next. Because there's a lot of things they have to deal with from that movie that if they just ignore, Superman Batman's going to suck. If they deal with and be like, hey, Superman kind of destroyed the city with this other dude, like, all they have to do is address the problems.
Yeah, they need
of Man
to redeem
Steel.
Some of the.
Yes, and
the
if they can do that, then we can all get back on board. But if they're not going to do that and you're just going to sweep it under the rug and pretend they didn't make any mistakes with that movie, then, you know, it's a crack of shit.
Then we're locked into this road that we don't want to be on.
For 10 more movies.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not that excited. I'm much more excited about the idea of Tony Stark being in Captain America 3 than I am about these 10 DC movies. And I love the Justice League. Obviously, Batman's my favorite character.
Yeah.
There are periods where I've really enjoyed Superman. I enjoyed The Flash, which is why I started watching the show. Like I said, the show is just... What did it for me with the show, I think we ended up talking about Gotham, is that we were watching the commercials.
Okay.
We missed it this week, so we're watching it on demand. And with new shows on demand, a lot of times you can't fast forward the commercials. And they were all fashion commercials and Target commercials. And like, they all had teenagers in it. I was like, oh, we're not supposed to be watching this.
Yeah, it's something that's, you see it. I kind of forget because I don't watch a lot of commercial television where there's commercial breaks and stuff. It's always like streaming or something. And the commercials really do kind of tell you who the audience is for.
Because who's going to buy those products.
Exactly. And if you're like watching the show and it's like nothing you're interested in, it's like, oh, I'm clearly not the demographic.
I get that vibe before a movie, depending on what the trailers are.
Yes.
If I don't like any trailer I see, I go, ooh, maybe I'm not going to like this movie.
Yeah.
And that, like, it happens.
Yep.
But, yeah, maybe because I'm over 40, it's like, I'm just not, you know what, I'm just not that worried about the problems of very, very pretty people.
Yeah. I think the show, like I said, from the little I've seen of like the screenshots and stuff like that, it looks good. Zoom.
It's fun. I think it's a little better than the old show.
Yeah.
And they're focusing on the villains. Like I said, we had
which is awesome.
Weather Wizard in the pilot with the multiple men. We know Captain Cold and Reverse Flash are coming. But it's like, it's very much built on that engine. In the same way where when I watched like Superhero Squad or Ultimate Spider-Man or Star Wars Clone Wars.
Right.
When I watch these animated series, I'm like, yeah, these are kids' shows. They're talking to kids. They don't care that guys in their 30s or 40s are into it or not.
Right.
And I'm fine with that because you know what? When I was 9 or 10, I didn't want to watch a lot of stuff that 40-year-old guys were into.
Right.
So
yeah, and you understand from a business point, that's what they're doing, and that's
so
why.
There's so many shows, and there's so many movies. I mean, the superhero genre is the main genre in Hollywood right now.
It's the most successful right now.
We're not expected to see everything like we were 10 years ago when there was nothing.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody was so excited about a Daredevil movie just because there was another superhero movie.
Right. Now it's like you're getting 3 or 4 a year, so it's like, you know, I didn't see Sin City this year.
Nobody did.
Because it came out in theaters and left theaters before I even knew it was existing.
And it came out around Guardians of the Galaxy, so you had a choice to make and you made that choice.
Yeah. And it's just like, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy once in theaters. If I was going to go see another movie, it would be to see Guardians of the Galaxy again, you know? So it's just
I did
like,
do that. Yeah, Joe didn't see it. So I was like, I'll see it again. I went with Joe, and I saw it twice. And yeah, I didn't see Sin City
too.
And I liked the first Sin City.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know if it holds up. But, you know, what I remember I liked, you know?
Yeah. And there were more.
Marvel canceled Fantastic Four despite Fox.
Marvel canceled Fantastic Four.
And apparently the rumor we're hearing around the shop is that the reason Wolverine was killed was despite Fox. So they killed Wolverine, and they have plans, from what I've heard, who knows if this is true, to keep Wolverine out of the comics for at least like 3 to 4 years.
But they're doing a weekly Wolverine series, which is like about X-23, and it's like everyone around Wolverine.
I think
they're doing Batman Eternal.
Right, but those are all miniseries.
And
those are all ending.
Yeah, it's going to be like Batman Eternal. And I think once it ends, and people are pointing to Secret Wars, and that's another thing. Apparently next summer, Marvel is doing every crossover they've ever done, because during the show, they announced that they're going to do Civil War again, and then everybody said, oh, yeah, well, Captain America 3, Civil War. But then they showed they're doing Secret Wars again, and then they're doing Age of Ultron and with Marvel Zombies, and then they're doing, what is it, Universe Hulk? Galaxy Hulk was a bigger story than Planet Hulk. And they kind of announced that they're doing every big crossover they've ever done. So are they doing a mega crossover? Or are they doing a bunch of one-shots that are tributes to that in a Batman 66 kind of way?
Yeah, I haven't read any of the solicitations for it. This is why I hate convention season, because all this stuff comes out.
There's no such thing as convention season, Stephen. There's a big convention every quarter. There's Toy Fair, there's San Diego, there's New York.
No, because it's all from the spring all the way to the fall. There's no more conventions for the rest of the year. Yeah, all the big announcements are done. So here's what I hate is, this big convention comes out, Marvel teases all this bullshit. They're like, oh, Secret War 2015, Civil War 2015, and it says nothing else. And then for the next 6 months, every idiot who comes into the store is going to be like, oh, Civil War is coming back. And it's just like, you don't know any more than I do. We don't know anything. But they think I know something because I own a comic book store, and that's not how it works. You know what you wait for? The fucking official solicitation. When that shit is finally solicited and they tell you what the hell it is, even that won't even be complete, because Marvel will be like, secret project, you know, order this thing, and 3 months from now, it's going to come out. We'll tell you what it is.
But
it's like,
the problem is that story works. And I had a fit when we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, because this is what they're doing with Batman Superman. Oh, we're showing a cape. Oh, there's a blurry picture of a Batmobile.
Yeah.
Oh, Robin might be Carrie Kelly in it, and Jenna Malone might be playing Robin, what came out over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard that. Every time I think Jenna Malone, I think the girl from 30 Rock. And I'm just like, I'd actually like to see that movie more.
Jane Krakowski? No, Jenna Malone, who's in the Twilight movies. She's like she has like a secondary role in the Twilight movies. She was in a really interesting movie called Saved that I liked with Mandy Moore a long time ago. But they're saying she might be Carrie Kelly as Robin in this movie. But the thing is, it's been working for a year. They give like these little tidbits of information, and people just go crazy.
I know, and that's what I hate. Is just like,
I had a fit on
the
show when we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, because you and Dave were like, and DC with Batman showed, and I'm like, no, let's not talk about this movie that's coming out in 2 years while we're talking about a movie we just saw. For some reason, that kind of teaser just fuels it. Maybe because we're so used to having nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the days where we were talking about the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie for 2 years before we realized it wasn't going to be released.
Yeah.
Or the Captain America movie, which went straight to video.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the only thing to talk about, so we're going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, I think it's just something where, yeah, it's like, it's just there's too much coming out, and there's too much to keep on top of, and everyone wants to be the guy who knows the newest shit. And it's just like, no one has any information.
That's part of why we're
doing
this podcast this week.
Yeah, I mean,
because this is the stuff that's completely new.
Right, and I understand doing like the, here's the news and like lumping it all together kind of thing. You know, that makes sense. But it's just like, this like endless speculation where like, everyone wants to be the, oh, I know what it's going to be, or I know, and it's just like, it's just exhausting, because it's like you said, there's 20 movies from one studio, and it's just like, what, how are we supposed to keep track of all this shit? And it's just
did you ever think we'd live in a world where there's 10 DC movies and 10 Marvel movies coming?
Yeah, I mean, I guess at some point, I mean, as soon as we kind of found out Marvel was going to do this like shared universe thing with like the first Iron Man, and you're part of a bigger universe and the Avengers Initiative and everything, that was kind of like, oh, this is going to be a real thing that's going to happen, you know, to some extent. You have an idea of it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anyone
to this extent.
Well, I always kind of thought, like, you know, because we kept hearing interviews from like idiot executives at Warner Brothers who were like, oh, well, you know, Lord of the Rings is ending, and we really liked having that tentpole movie every year we could count on. And then I was always just like, fucking Superman, Batman, the Justice League, like Marvel's doing it every week. Like,
although
just
they did
do
it, because Batman Begins was 2 years after Return of the King.
Yeah.
And they still had Harry Potter going.
And
Harry
Superman,
Potter lasted 10
Batman
years.
Begins, and then Superman Returns came out. And that was something where it was like
they
that
were supposed,
was supposed
to run together.
Yep,
Superman Returns
to together
a year after Batman Begins,
and then lead into Justice League, and do
then
all this
Superman
stuff.
Returns did not do
and
well.
It just didn't happen. And that's kind of like the most frustrating.
And
part.
Then Green Lantern. Bombed. Green Lantern came, Green Lantern bombed, but it came before Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And then little movies like Jonah Hex bombed for them.
Yeah. And
you know, they couldn't even get their small characters.
And at the time, too, and you know, Marvel was like, or Fox or whoever was making like Elektra movies and Catwoman movies and shit. So it's like, they were making bombs.
Oh, that Catwoman movie, man.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Is everyone,
that's before Batman Begins.
Right. But everyone thinks this has been like a straight line of crazy successes. And it's just like, oh, we've had some pretty horrific bombs, like,
but
in the midst of all this.
But there's so much you forget about them.
Yeah. Right, you know, yeah, because you're like, we've had two Fantastic Four movies already, and they're about to come out with another one next year.
Yeah, which looks to be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. It'll bomb, and then 5 years from now,
Marvel will get it
back. Marvel will get the rights back, and they'll try it. Maybe it'll bomb, or maybe it'll figure it out, you know?
I don't know. But, and the craziest news, I told you this, and you didn't believe
me. I think this is the biggest news.
This, a poster just came out. And during New York Comic Con.
Is it an official movie poster?
It's really happening.
All right, we need to find
really,
a picture of that. I need to see
really
that.
It's really happening. Disney is remaking Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
There with Kate Blanchett.
Who is?
As Mary Poppins. Who's Galadriel in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
She's done a lot of great things, and she's always fantastic. But she's playing Mary Poppins.
All right, she seems like the logical choice. Sure.
And it's being directed by Tim Burton. And the poster
fucking kill me.
The poster is like Mary Poppins with her umbrella. I said Popkins and I'm sticking with it. Mary Poppins with her umbrella, and it's like dark, and it's like dark London. It looks like Sweeney Todd. It's like really dark skies, and it's a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they're doing it is Alice in Wonderland is really given Tim Burton his second career, to the point where Dark Shadows can bomb and he can just keep going.
Yeah, which is strange to me because people have such short memories. The last Tim Burton film I saw, did he do the Willy Wonka movie?
Yeah, that's like almost 10 years ago. Yeah, one with Johnny Depp.
That's the last one, and I didn't even see the whole movie. I saw part of it and walked away. I can't stand Johnny Depp. And
I like Johnny Depp. I'm getting tired of him, but I like
him. The last full one I saw was his Planet of the Apes remake.
That's horrible.
Like 15 years ago.
That's probably his worst movie.
It was, and that was where I was like, oh, Tim Burton's done.
Yeah. Thing is, my generation, or maybe just me, I'm not going to speak for my whole generation, I will always love Tim Burton because he came out of the box and he was amazing for 10 years. It was like the first movie he made was Pee-wee's Big Adventure, then Beetlejuice, then Batman, then Edward Scissorhands, then another Batman.
Yeah, but that other Batman sucked.
No, I love Batman Returns. Yeah. We've talked about that too.
I don't know why people still say that like it's a true thing.
It's the things that work in it really, really work. The things that don't work are terrible. But like But
there's a lot that doesn't work in that movie, though.
The look of it and the performances in it are better than the first Batman.
Sure.
I mean, you've got Danny DeVito, Christopher Walken, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Michael Keaton just going balls out. That the look of that movie, it's the same production designer as Men in Black. It's got, like, that slicker look to it.
Yeah.
Catwoman and Penguin look incredible in a way you can never do ever again.
Right. Yeah,
it's way more of a Tim Burton movie than the first movie,
and that's my problem with
The first movie, the first movie's cool, but the first movie's all Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
I think the last Tim Burton movie I actually enjoyed was Big Fish. Right, that was him.
Big Fish was okay.
I liked Big
later.
Fish, and it's not great, but I liked it.
But then after Batman Returns, you have Nightmare Before Christmas and Ed Wood, and those are like his two best films ever. And it's not until Mars Attacks that you're like, eh. And I don't even mind Mars Attacks that much.
Did he do
Mars
Attacks?
He did Mars Attacks.
Oh, of course he did. That makes a lot more sense now.
But that run, it's like the Pixar run for me.
Yeah.
It's like everything's so damn good.
But it's just like that was
10 years that like, all right, you can coast now.
He had a good 10-year arc 20 years ago, though. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's like buying George Harrison albums. They're not going to be Beatle albums anymore.
Yeah.
But they're going to be interesting. But the other reason I think that he's making Mary Poppins, like I said, Alice in Wonderland was a huge hit for Disney, so they're like, let him remake our old stuff in a Tim Burton way, and it'll do pretty well. Frankenweenie was also good.
I didn't even see
that. That was his return. Corpse Bride was good.
I didn't see that.
I've seen all of his films. I've liked most of them. Big Fish is okay. Planet of the Apes is terrible.
It just seems like Disney's putting all their eggs in the Tim Burton basket, and they're just like, "Hey, we don't know what to do because we don't have any original fucking ideas anymore."
Yeah, but that's why they're buying everything else. That's why they're buying Lucasfilm. They're buying Marvel. They bought the Muppets.
So make those movies. Why hire one?
They are making those movies.
But that's what I'm saying is just like
Tim Burton's not making the Muppets.
No, but they're giving Tim Burton's it, and they're just saying, "Here, crazy person, make all of the classics and just remake them. We don't need Mary Poppins." Again, we made that movie already. You're not gonna top it.
Although what I think he's gonna do is, have you seen Saving Mr. Banks?
Yes.
I think it's a response to that, because as you know, and if you haven't seen it, Saving Mr. Banks is all about how much the author of Mary Poppins didn't like the Disneyfication.
Yeah, to me it looked like how much fucking the author Mary Poppins was a bitch.
Well, that's also because it came from Disney.
Yeah.
And I heard a lot of the criticisms of that was like, yeah, Walt wasn't that great. Walt was not Tom Hanks in real life.
No.
But what I think is, this might be like the Willy Wonka movie. This is the true to the book version.
So they're going
to
make Mary Poppins, like the book version, a darker, creepier Tim Burton playground nightmare world.
I think they might. I think it might be kind of like Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, where it's like, we're going to do adapt the book, and it's... You know, because you know what? We made our version, which is a classic, which is not going anywhere.
Sure.
Then we made a movie about how the author didn't think her vision was shown.
So now they're
going to... So let's make a movie that shows her vision. And then we've got three.
Right. But hang on a second. Because we should dig up the corpse of the author of Mary Poppins and reanimate her into a real person who can think and exist in the world again. And then show her Tim Burton's version of her book and see if she doesn't kill him with a cutlass.
Oh my God, they should do Saving Mr. Banks 2, where Emma Thompson then sees the Tim Burton version.
Right.
And then argues to Paul Giamatti, who's driving around Hollywood.
Right. Because think about that for a minute. If that author didn't like the Disney version of Mary Poppins, she sure as shit isn't going to like the fucked up, I got touched as a little boy, Tim Burton version of Mary Poppins.
Well, we don't know that because it's not Willy Wonka. His Charlie and Chocolate Factory is closer to the Roald Dahl book.
Yeah, but I get the feeling so that Roald Dahl would watch that movie and be like, what a bullshit.
I feel like that's you saying that.
Yeah, and therefore Roald Dahl.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. I just saw a show on Amazon Prime from Comedy Central, which started in the spring.
Okay.
And I missed it completely. And so when it popped up on Amazon Prime, I think has a deal with Comedy Central because they have Key and Peele on there.
Okay.
They have a lot of their new shows, and they're not on Netflix. So there was a show called Review. With Andy Daly. Have you heard anything about it?
I don't even know who Andy Daly is.
Andy Daly's kind of... He's not well known. He's like... He's a character actor kind of guy. He was in like semi-pro. He was in like... He did like bits, parts, and things.
Okay.
He looked very like Midwestern. Very like bland. Very nothing.
Yeah.
But he does extreme characters, which makes it even weirder. Because he's got like blonde hair combed to the side and glasses. And he's like wearing like a... He's wearing like a... jacket and a tie.
Yeah.
And he talks very evenly, kind of like a Phil Hartman, but less theatrical.
Okay.
But then the ideas are so bizarrely weird that it completely throws you.
Okay.
He's been on Comedy Bang Bang a lot. He's like one of those kind of guys. And it was produced by Tim and Eric.
Okay.
So it's kind of that weird vein.
Yeah. They did that Jeff Goldblum commercial very recently.
They did the Jeff Goldblum, which I sent to you on Facebook.
Yeah, I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah, they're... I've never quite clicked into them, but I find them interesting. But Review was based on a British show. I don't know how far the British show went, but it really surprised me where he plays a character who reviews life experiences. He's like, I don't review films or books or movies. I review life experiences. So people call him up and they're like, hey, what's it like to have a one-night stand? And he just gets up and he walks out of the studio and he does it.
Okay.
So I thought it would be like a sketch show.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. And it made me laugh out loud. Like, you know, what's it like to hunt a wild animal? He just gets up. What's it like to have road rage? He's just like, all right. And he just walks out
and
of
he
it.
Goes
and they show
it.
Him like walk out and open the door to the studio. And it's like a magazine show. But what was really brilliant about it was that it had a continuity to it. I was like, okay, this is going to be a bunch of sketches.
Yeah, which
because he does two challenges in a show, and I'm like, it's going to be kind of like a Key and Peele.
Sure.
Like 10-minute chunks. But what's amazing about it, there's a season-long arc about how he keeps doing these things and not telling people why, and it's ruining his life.
Okay.
So in the first one, somebody says, what's it like to be addicted to drugs? He's like, let's go find out.
Oh, God.
And he gets completely addicted to cocaine.
Wait, so he's really doing cocaine?
No, it's a scripted show.
Yeah, all right.
It's not a reality show, but yeah, the character, yes, is really getting addicted to cocaine. And then he comes home and his family has an intervention. They're like, we don't understand why you're doing drugs. He's like, great, an intervention. This will be perfect.
Right.
He's very excited about it. And then a couple of episodes later, they're like, what's it like to get divorced? And he goes home and divorces his wife.
Oh, God.
So his life is getting worse and worse. And as the episodes go on, people are starting to think he's insane.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I don't know what happened. He started doing cocaine and then he got divorced. And he's not explaining at all that it's for the show.
Right.
And it just, and they say, there's an episode where a kid writes in, he's like, what's it like to be Batman? And he goes walking the streets in a Batman suit. And then he realizes he has to meet his lawyer for his divorce hearing because he got divorced 2 episodes ago.
Right.
So he shows up at the divorce hearing.
At the Batman suit.
Yes, dressed as Batman. It's genius.
All right. I'll have to check that
out. Renee and I ended up binge watching it for a couple of days, and it's the exact kind of thing why we have this segment.
Right.
Of like, this is amazing.
Right.
Not
you
enough
all
people
need to
know
go
about
check
this
out.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not on Netflix, but if you have Amazon Prime, you can stream it for free. And I found out by going on Wikipedia, it will come back for a second season.
Oh, nice.
So, because I got halfway into it, I'm like, why doesn't anybody know about this? Why did this thing just disappear? And then I was like, oh, it didn't disappear.
It's still going on.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
It's incredible. Fred Willard shows up in it. There's like some good guest spots in it.
Nice.
There's one episode that about pancakes that's absolutely incredible. But, Steven?
I would say I got, I was watching, the, who do you call that guy? Jon Stewart and
yes.
Stephen Colbert. And then the internet and its cleverness was like, oh, you like these guys. Here's, John Oliver. He does have you seen this? Last Week Tonight?
Yep.
Where he basically takes a week's worth of news stories and then does like an hour show on a Sunday night. And, kind of like what we're doing. And, so he's doing these shows, and he takes something that's kind of crazy that happens in America, like the Ferguson nonsense or whatever bullshit politicians are doing, and he just lays it out in such a plain way and kind of just like pokes holes in like these kinds of really goofy things we're doing. I would just say it's a super smart show. It's worth checking out. It's on YouTube, so it's free. Like anyone
can
watch it.
Yeah, they have like 15-minute chunks on YouTube. That's how I've been watching it.
I think it's the whole show.
I think so, too. If it's a half-an-hour show, they're basically putting the whole thing.
It's done by HBO, so he kind of can do whatever he wants, I guess. But it's really smart.
And John Oliver came from The Daily Show. He was a
correspondent
on The Daily
Show. Yeah, so it's very much in that vein.
He was also on Community a lot.
Yes,
which
I remember
another show
Community.
That I adore.
But yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty smart. Like I said, he does a lot of things where it's just kind of like it's a good examining of our society to kind of point out how fucked up and stupid we all are still, and kind of like pokes holes at these different things we do.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that when they announced it and I saw the first one, I'm like, well, he's just doing The Daily Show again, and he got this show because Jon Stewart took like 4 months off to direct a film.
Yeah.
So he hosted The Daily Show for
he filled
the
in
summer,
for him, right?
And it was when like all the Carlos Danger stuff happened and he went nuts on it.
Yeah.
And he immediately got like his own show out of that.
Which is great.
And I was like, really? We're just going to have another Daily Show? But they found this approach to just take one topic.
Yeah.
And look at it from every angle.
Yeah, they do take the one topic. Like I said, he kind of just punches all these holes in it, where the Daily Show will do a lot of like, it's like fake news, so they'll have like people out in the field doing this or that.
Right.
It's like it doesn't really do any of that. It's pretty much just him at a desk,
and it's whatever headline is that day.
Exactly,
where John Oliver is looking at the bigger picture.
Right, it's weekly, and then if it's like a slow news week, like they took like the prison industrial complex, and he ran with it, and they kind of say this is how fucked up our prisons are that no one really knows or pays attention to here. And it's I think it's kind of good to be aware of some of this stuff because this shit won't get fixed if we don't. Think about it.
Yeah, I love it. That was cool. That was 2 good comedy recommendations this week after talking about comics for 55 minutes. That's what the show should be.
That's what it's supposed to be.
You can follow me on Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the feed. I need to start tweeting more. I end up thinking of great tweets in my car. Now I have a longer commute, so I keep thinking of really great tweets in my car. Then I get to work and I don't tweet them.
No, that's work smart. You should tweet them.
So if more people follow, if I get 5 more followers this week,
There you go. Challenge.
If I do get followers from the show,
challenge accepted.
I promise to tweet at least a joke every day.
A joke a day.
Yeah, and if I don't, you can leave, because I feel it when that number goes down.
He can tell.
Oh, I lose sleep. you can like the Facebook page. Facebook page is up to date, like pretty much each one of these stories.
Yeah, every one of those stories is an article, one form or another, on the Facebook.
Yeah, and Steven?
You guys can come find me at Camaras Comics, 19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!